It's time to pony up to the table and hear all of what's going on in the county, where it all comes together. The County Grapevine, a 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.
Hello, welcome to the Grapevine for Wednesday, January 7th. I'm Dave Wheatley, your host, and a little later on Taking Care of Business, Pearl Huckel speaks with Cole Matthews of Matthews Lawn Care and Snow Removal. Then, on the County Naturally, Pamela Stagg and Ryan Danby discuss building overpasses and underpasses to help animals cross the highway safely in response to the proposed 401 expansion. But first, the County Cooks with Chef Chris Byrne. Here is Chris.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, indeed. And we made it through the holidays. Oh, boy. So many treats, so much rich food, and well, we should. You know, the darkest time of year, it's fun to indulge, but it ends up here. We're in the first week of January, and maybe it's a good time to eat some soup, get some nutrition, some grounding, some warmth, some tonic, get us through the winter. Easy on our budget, easy on our digestive systems, and I got some tips and tricks for you today that should help you make some really good soups, I'm hoping. Now, of course, it's got to be one of the oldest forms of dishes that humans have eaten, putting stuff in liquid and heating it up over a fire. And, of course, classic folk tale where a stranger comes into the town and tells everybody that he can make the most delicious soup using just a stone. So he gets a pot, gets some water, he puts the stone in, and, of course, the locals come. They're wondering what's going on. They gather around, and he says, oh, you know what really makes the stone soup really great is if we have some onions. And one of the locals goes, grab some onions. Soon enough, people are offering things. Oh, I've got carrots, I got potatoes, and I've got herbs, I've got spices. And people are running and grabbing ingredients and bringing them to help with the stone soup. And in the end, the community and the stranger have created this delicious soup. And, of course, the stone had nothing to do with it. The stranger had tricked them into being inspired and collaborating. And as a result, they got this wonderful, nutritious, delicious soup that they had created together. Neat story. And I love the role that soup plays in it because, you know, soup is for the people. Everyone loves soup. If you cook at all, I'm sure you've got a soup game. You've got some soups you like to go to, meeting over a bowl of soup and some warm bread. It's just a beautiful thing that all humans can relate to. And I think that soup's role in that story kind of highlights all of that. All right, now down to the details, where when we're going to make a soup, we're going to make almost all soups. We're going to start with a mirepoix. And a mirepoix is basically one part onion two part onion to one part celery, one part carrot. And we're going to use that to start almost every soup. There are some exceptions. I will mention that later. Whether we're making a brothy soup, a creamy soup, or a pureed soup, we're going to start with the mirepoix. We're going to saute our onions till they're soft. We're going to throw in the celery. We're going to throw in the carrots. Of course, there's going to be salt and oil involved in that. And we're generally going to cook it very gently. We don't want to brown any of that stuff. We just want it to melt and get soft. So we're going to do that. That's the start of any soup. Once you've got them wilted and you can add in the broth of your choice, then, you know, the world is your oyster. You can add in any ingredients you would like. You can go in many directions from there. But that is the base of 90% of the soups that you're going to make. So once you've got that mastered, you've almost mastered the art of soup. Now, I mentioned the broth. So quite often in traditional cooking, we've got chicken broth and we've got beef broth. And those are the two broths that are used in most of the soup recipes that you will read. Now, we can do a great veg version of both of these. And I love making veg broths. And again, I start with the mirepoix. If I'm doing the chicken, I will add chicken seasoning, which is a mixture of spices, of herbs that make things often are put in with chicken stuff. So this is perfect. It'll make it taste like chicken. I will also add into that broth good quality tamari and for the saltiness and umami. I will add nutritional yeast. It really brings a nice chicken flavor. And it doesn't have to be at the forefront. You put it in at the beginning. You just put a couple tablespoons in, say 4 cups of water. But it's going to bring a nice chicken flavor. I would add a little bit of oil in there for the mouthfeel. And another trick I like to use for this vegetarian chicken stock mouthfeel is I'll put a little bit of agar. You can get it at the local health food stores. You don't need very much. Probably about a half a teaspoon or a quarter teaspoon of agar into your broth. And it's going to give it that kind of mouthfeel that the gelatin from the chicken and or the beef bones give to the broth. So it's a big thing that's missing often from vegetarian broths, and it's nice to add in that little bit of oil, little bit of agar, just to give you that viscosity, that mouthfeel. So that's the chicken broth. And then, you know, interesting for the beef broth, I will do the same with the mirepoix. I will add some dried shiitakes, again, for umami. I will strain them out later. Bit of sesame oil for depth of flavor. I'll often put in a bit of red wine for depth, darkness. I like to put in miso for my beef broth. It brings the real depth and darkness. And then the real trick, I put in soy sauce, but the real trick for if I'm going for a deep, dark sort of beef broth style, I'll put in a little bit, a tablespoon of cocoa powder. And that just brings the dark, it brings the right color. It brings a lot of depth, you know, unsweetened, of course. And I would like to mention for both of these broths, for chicken and or beef faux broths, I always put in bay leaf. Bay leaf makes a big difference. You might not notice it. Don't, you know, make sure you get new bay leaf every once in a while. Sometimes I go to people's houses. They've got bay leaves from 20 years ago. Get some newer ones and put them in there. You'll notice it makes a really big difference. Now, we've got our chicken broth. We've got our beef broth. The other thing, when I'm talking about the different types of soups, I said there's a brothy soup. So that's, we're going to put in our broth and we're going to let it, you know, the broth shine through with lots of vegetables, hot pot style, a tom yum soup, sweet and sour or hot and sour soup. These kind of soups are delicious, and the broth shines through, and then we have our vegetables. Or like a chicken noodle soup, which, you know, our chicken broth is really great for. I like to use the young jackfruit and brine as a substitute for the chicken. It has a really similar texture, and it's wonderful in there. And, of course, the noodle of your choice, and there you go. The creamy soups. So how are we going to make something creamy when we're when it's plant-based? Well, there's a variety of ways. One, by pureeing up some, you know, if we have some potatoes that we put in there and then puree them up, that will thicken it up. Sometimes I will use silken tofu in there, just in the background, just enough to thicken it up. Coconut milk is, or coconut cream is a great way to thicken things. Another great thing, way to thicken things is actually, well, you know, so making a roux. So we'll put in some oil and then we'll add some flour and we'll toast that flour. Then we'll add in our broth once it's toasted, and that will add a creaminess to it. You know, and that's for regular flour. If you want to do gluten-free, you know, chickpea flour is a really great option. In Ethiopia, they make these soups called wats. Shiro wat is a chickpea-thickened soup. It's absolutely delicious, and the chickpea works wonderfully there. But do make sure that you toast it well. It needs to be cooked before, especially the chickpea flour. But yeah, using that kind of roux will thicken things up. Another way to thicken things up is putting nuts, especially cashews, in there. And then we're going to put the cashews in with our broth, then we're going to blend that in a high-speed blender, and that's going to give us a creamy soup we can add other things to. Another way for thickening is just blending, partial blending with a immersion blender. And, you know, for a broccoli soup or sometimes for a black bean soup, you know, we'll just put in the immersion blender and kind of half blend it to your taste. And that way, you know, it makes it creamy. So we get the creaminess out of the broccoli soup, but we still get some broccoli to chew on. The same with the black bean soup. It's, you know, we're not making a black bean dip. We do want some of that texture in there, but we do want the black beans to go into the background and make it creamy. So real simple, just stick the immersion blender in there and blend till it's about, you know, half blended. And that's going to be absolutely perfect. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention cold soups. Gazpacho is absolutely delicious, even in the winter, but especially in the summer. And vichyssoise, more of a summer thing. If you're going to make a potato soup in the winter, you probably keep it cold. But the two types of gazpachos, of course, there's the tomato-based one, and then there's the blanco, which is made with garlic and stale bread. And it's a beautiful, that's another way to thicken a soup is by putting in bread, blending that up. It gets so creamy and delicious with the garlic and often, you know, garnished with green grapes. Delicious soup, delicious soup. And then there's fruit soups as well. I make a lot of fruit soups, watermelon soups. I'll put in coconut yogurt, ginger, and blend it. Recently, though, I make a beautiful cold blueberry soup in a similar way. But recently, I made a hot blueberry soup, and it was absolutely delicious. Basically, I put in my mirepoix, heated it up, put in my broth, and instead of vegetables, I added frozen berries, blueberries, and blended all that up with some lime and coconut milk. Absolutely incredible. In fact, I followed this the pattern for my sweet potato coconut ginger soup. I'm gonna share the recipe for that with you right now, because this is such a quick soup and it's so popular. It's absolutely wonderful. I get my mirepoix, so I get a couple onions, a carrot, a stick of celery. I chop it all up. I melt that down. Then I add a good inch and a half of ginger, all diced up. Then I'm going to add some cooked out until it starts to stick to the pan. I will deglaze with a little apple cider vinegar. Then in goes the coconut milk, a can of quality coconut milk. And for that, I'm going to take about 3 large sweet potatoes and cut them up, dice them up, put them in. Cook them till they're soft, blend it up. You've got this gorgeous, gorgeous soup. So I did the exact same thing. And instead of the sweet potatoes, I added blueberries. Again, the ginger, the apple cider vinegar. And it's incredible, incredible. It's a clean soup and it's really neat. The Norwegians do it and it's pretty cool. Now, I don't have much time here left, but I'd like to talk a little bit about garnishing, because I find that adds a lot to a soup. And so toasted nuts is a nice garnish. A splash of a plant-based yogurt, a dollop of an almond or a coconut yogurt on top. Croutons add a nice little crunch to soups, which I find are really nice on there. You can make a green oil. I just blend herbs with, say, an olive oil and then strain them. You get this nice green oil. Looks great drizzled on certain soups. Chips are really nice, whether it be, say, a corn chip for a Mexican-style soup, or I'll make a pear chip or an apple chip or a beet chip in the oven just by cutting them thin and baking them for about 45 minutes. Then throw that onto your, whether it be a borscht or a pear parsnip soup or something of that ilk. Adding fruits into your savory soups as well. Pear parsnip, apple squash. It adds a really nice texture and flavor to it. Also, powders like duckas or gomachios, which is a sesame salt powder, or just spices. Sometimes I'll sprinkle some cinnamon on top of there. Granola, savory or sweet granolas can make a nice crunchy topping, which I love on a variety of soups. A bit of granola on that blueberry soup I was just talking about would be great. And in the summer, I'll put flowers and stuff on there. Get creative with your soup garnishes, because they really do add a lot, and they will add a texture, an alternative flavor, and make them beautiful to the eye. So it's something to think about there. Okay, well, that's it for me talking about soups now, and I hope I've inspired you to get a big pot out there, cook a bunch of the stuff in your fridge up, and get cuddle up to a warm bowl of soup with your loved ones today. It's a great day for it. As usual, you can contact me at Instagram at ChefChris2112 or www.chefchrisbyrne, that's BYRNE.com. Hit me up. Happy to talk anything soup with you or anything regarding any kind of cooking with vegetables. And so until next time.
Thank you very much, Chris. Up next on The Grapevine, Taking Care of Business, brought to you by the Prince Edward County Chamber of Commerce. Pearl Huckel speaking with Cole Matthews of Matthews Lawn Care and Snow Removal. We'll be back soon.